Welcome to Face to Face. Face to Face is an in-depth look at the life and career of a popular sports figure from a Christian perspective. Now, here's your host of Face to Face, Tom Rust.
All right, thank you, and welcome to Face to Face. We're glad to have you with us, and hope you're doing well. Hope you are ready for the new year. 2020 is here, and that's going to bring on a lot of different opportunities. And of course, as we get into 2020, we start to make some changes in our sports schedule. The basketball is in full swing. We got the playoff games and the Super Bowl out ahead of us in the National Football League. The college bowl games are, for the most part, pretty much behind us, with the exception of the national championship game that will be played in a few days. And then, of course, you've got basketball, and we got a lot of different sports. But we have with us today a guy that knows a lot about the football scene, both on the college football level and the pro level, because he played for a number of years. His name is John Standiford, and he was an outstanding wide receiver. In fact, set a number of records. He was an outstanding wide receiver when he played at Purdue. And then he went on and had an interesting career in the National Football League. Now, a lot of guys have great college careers, and when they get to the National Football League, it becomes a little bit different. And John Standiford spent most of his time on the practice squad. Now, he was drafted by the, or was not drafted. He signed as an undrafted free agent in 2004 by the Washington Redskins. Then he was traded to the Colts 2004 to 2007. He was on the practice squad for the Colts. Now, the interesting thing about that is the 2006 practice squad was a very interesting group, a very strong group, because the 2006 Indianapolis Colts won the Super Bowl. They won 29-17. That was Super Bowl 41. They won 29-17 over the Chicago Bears. And the practice squad for that year, of course, has to get the team ready, not just for the regular season, but they've got to have some extra weeks in which they get the team ready all the way up to the Super Bowl. And so you got to realize that probably that 2000 practice squad team had to be pretty good. And that's where John Standiford came in. He played on a number of other teams also. He was traded to the Detroit Lions and kind of went from one height to the lowest depth. The Detroit Lions team that he ended up playing for, 2008-2009, the Detroit Lions team didn't win a game. They were 0-16. 0-16. And so he went from being a part of the Super Bowl team with Tony Dungy, actually getting a Super Bowl ring, to being a part of the Detroit Lions where he didn't win anything. So that had to be kind of tough. And then he played for some other teams also. He played for some teams in the what was then the USFL, and he played for a number of other teams. He was signed finally by the Cincinnati Bengals. He played for them 14 days in preseason training camp, and then was released, and that was kind of the end of his career. But that doesn't take anything away from the fact that John Standiford had a lot of experiences, and had those great years at Purdue, and as a result of that, he kind of moved on into the business world, and actually comes out of Monrovia High School in Monrovia, Indiana, and I believe is still an assistant coach at Monrovia High School. But John Standiford is our guest today, and I think you're going to enjoy the time that he talks about, the experiences that he had, and also talks about his Christian faith. So we'll take a break, and when we come back, you'll hear from John Standiford, former Purdue standout. Be back after this. You are listening to Face to Face. All right, welcome back to Face to Face. Glad to have you with us today. And today our guest is John Standiford, who's a former outstanding wide receiver for Purdue from 2000 to 2003. John, thanks for being a part of Face to Face.
Well, glad to be here, and just appreciate you thinking about me and giving me an opportunity to speak, and not only about my career, but also what impacts me on a daily basis, and that's my relationship with Christ.
You were on some really good Purdue teams during those years, playing for Joe Tiller. What was Coach Tiller like?
Oh, he was a hard-nosed, old-school kind of coach. You can expect to, you know, he's going to do what he said he's going to do, and he expects that out of you. And if you work hard and pay attention to the details and do what he says, you don't have a problem. But if you're not going to follow his rules, usually you'd have a problem. But he's a great guy. He was a great coach for me, helped me out in my career, and good guy to play for.
You guys did a tremendous job. He played in ball game all 4 years, which is really something that's unusual, and including the 2001 Rose Bowl against number 4 Washington. That was the first trip for Purdue to the Rose Bowl since 1967. What do you remember about that Rose Bowl experience?
Oh, I was just thinking about that the other day. You know, any kid that is from the Midwest and gets to see Big Ten football always wants to play in that game, and so when you get there as a freshman and you don't really understand the magnitude of the game until you're out of it, and then they haven't been back since. So it was just I can just remember the stadium being awesome, and you know, as small as it seems, just walking on that grass and seeing, you know, just the history on people who have stepped on that field, and being able to play in it as a freshman with Drew Brees as your quarterback and actually contributing to the game was a dream come true for me as a small town kid out of Monrovia, Indiana.
Tell me the other bowl games that you played in. I know that you were there all 4. I know you played, I think, in the Alamo Bowl 1 year, maybe the Outback Bowl. Did they measure up? I don't imagine they measured up to the Rose Bowl, but what were your experiences like in those other bowl games?
Yeah, my next 2 years we played in the Sun Bowl. And then my last year we played Georgia in the Capital One Bowl, which okay. is a January, you know, big bowl game, good competition, and they were all great experiences. Allowed me to play one more game of that year and show my skills. But anytime you get a chance to play in a bowl game and represent the Big Ten and outside of Big Ten play, it's an honor. And whether it's, you know, the most prestigious bowl game or not, you still get a chance to play, and not everybody does.
You graduated holding Big Ten's all-time career reception record, 266 catches. Included in that were 14 catches in a game 2003 against Wisconsin. What do you remember about that Wisconsin game?
No, I kind of was just in the zone, whatever came my way. I wasn't even worried about, you know, somebody hitting me or anything like that. Just kind of one of those days where if the ball's going to come your way, you know you're going to catch it, and it doesn't matter after that. And it was just a, you know, good day. And
what was the weather like on that day? Was it a cold day? Was it a warm day, rainy day? What was it like?
It wasn't a cold day. It was just perfect football weather, and just – me and my teammate, actually, I think my teammate had 12 catches or somewhere around there, Stubblefield. So we had a great game of passing, and it ended up working out.
Was it in Wisconsin? Was it a
camp? Yeah, it was at
Camp Randall Stadium, which can be one of the most brutal fans. And that's pretty good to pick up 14 catches against those, because those fans can get on you pretty good in Wisconsin.
Yeah, they can. They're known for being rowdy and cheering their team on, which that's what you want at a home field. And Chuba will go there and play and perform. Those are some of the things you don't forget.
You came out of Monrovia High School in Monrovia, Indiana. I think it's Monrovia High School, right?
Yep.
And you played with two of the top quarterbacks today in the NFL, Drew Brees, who's a Hall of Famer, no doubt about that. Kyle Orton may get into the Hall of Fame. That was really something. What was special? Let's talk about Drew Brees, first of all. What was special about Drew Brees as a quarterback and being on the receiving end of his passes?
Well, I mean, just as a a leader, that's a guy you want to be like. And as a freshman, I came on campus with wide eyes and just wanted to perform, and he kind of directed me where I needed to be and what I needed to do to be successful. So I owe a lot of my career to him and showing me the ropes of how to work and how to do it the right way. So, and his passes were always easy to catch, so my freshman year wasn't too hard. All I had to do was basically make sure I hung on to the pass. And Kyle Orton was another great quarterback. He threw the ball a lot harder than anybody I've ever caught from, but he could find me when he needed to. And so I've been able to play with some great quarterbacks. Peyton Manning was one of them. Matthew Stafford
Yeah.
was some. So
You've had a tremendous time. Do you still stay in touch with any of those guys, or was it particularly the guys you were with at Purdue? Because I know that's a lot more of a fraternity of players. But do you have a chance to stay in contact with them or see them when they're playing today?
Yeah, we do stay in contact. You know, as we get busy and we all have families and things we have to worry about, but I try to make it a point to either call or email or text or whatever just to stay in touch and see how things are going. So those are the bonds that never go away. Whether you've talked to somebody in a year or not, you can go back on campus for an event and it's just like you've never, you know, missed a beat or haven't talked in a while. So that's just what happens when you bleed sweat and shed tears with your friends. You know, you never forget those bonds that are created.
One thing that really surprised me as I looked over your bio was 2004, after having this great career at Purdue, playing with Breeze, playing with Kyle Orton, you went undrafted. Was that kind of a disappointment for you after you came out of your college career?
Yeah, I think it was. You know, after leaving the Big Ten with the most yards in the Big Ten history and most catches in a career, you kind of expect to get drafted. And then, you know, I did have good performance in the combine and things like that. And it's just, you know, I got injured my junior year, never missed any games. But I don't know if that was created a red flag and maybe that was the case. But I don't trade it. I still got an opportunity to go and perform. And every kid dreams to just get a chance, and that's what I had. So it all worked out in the end.
You signed with the Redskins. I don't think you ever played for the Redskins, though, right? They traded you to the Indianapolis Colts in 2004. And being from a town not far away from Indianapolis, that had to be a good feeling.
Yeah, it was. I thought the Redskins would be the best opportunity for me since they had a new coaching staff coming in, and I thought maybe I could prove myself. And it just didn't work out. You know, didn't really get an opportunity there, and they wanted to keep me on the practice squad, but the Colts did as well, so I ended up selecting the coach and Colts and then being able to play for Coach Dungy and my hometown team that I grew up cheering for and rooting on. And I can remember the first day I went in there and got a locker next to Peyton Manning next to Marvin Harrison and Reggie Wayne and Brandon Stokely, and just a great experience to learn from them and you know, be able to, right when you get in the game, know how to do it in a professional way.
Yeah, I was going to say, you were on a practice squad, and you're on a practice squad, but you still daily contact with Tony Dungy, with Peyton Manning, Marvin Harrison, guys that you mentioned there. Let's talk about Tony Dungy, first of all. Of course, an outstanding Christian, a man of tremendous faith. What did Tony Dungy show you or teach you outside of football about life?
Yeah, I mean, you know, you got coaches standing up and you know, in front of the media saying it's faith, family, and football, and it might change in the locker room when it's just the team and no outside sources hearing. But when Coach Dungy says that, you know, he means that, and God was his number one priority, and that's the way he coached, and that's the way he talked with us. And it just was a reassuring thing for me to know that a man of his, you know, position would still put God first above all things. It didn't matter, you know, how much he was getting paid or what he did. He was going to honor God through all that.
You got on the practice squad. You got to play in some preseason games. I don't think you ever really got on the field, did you, in a regular season game with the Colts? But you got a Super Bowl ring. 2007, they won the Super Bowl. In 2006, of course, being on the practice squad during that year had to be extremely important because you're getting guys ready. Tell me a little bit about the experience of being on the practice squad of the team that won the Super Bowl.
Yeah, believe it or not, that was my first year I'd ever made the roster in NFL. So in 2006, I made the team, and the first three games I was on the roster, and then got put back down on the practice squad, and there was, you know, a time in there where of a 10-week stretch I was on the practice squad. And you know, those guys do everything that the regular players do, just don't play on Sundays, you know. And we give them a look, and we do all we can to prepare and get the team ready. And it was my job to get the DBs ready and have them prepared to know what the receiver was going to do. And I kind of took it, you know, pride in the fact that when the other team's receivers made catches on Sunday, it kind of made me mad. So I worked hard and whether I was on the practice squad or not, I was always going to give my best effort to not only help my team, but just honor God through everything I did. So I can remember 4 games left of that season, and the Detroit Lions wanted to sign me, and it was a great opportunity for me to go further in my career and get some snaps.
Yeah,
I went into Coach Dungy's office and told him, I got to go to the Lions. I appreciate you, the person you are and the things you have taught me, but this is a great opportunity for my career. And he gave me an answer I didn't expect. Practice squad players are pretty replaceable. Anybody wants to play in the NFL, and you can get somebody to come in and run routes and get you ready. But he's like, you didn't always get what you deserved, and you came in and still worked hard with character and integrity, and you always did what you're asked, and we don't have to worry about you off the field. And so we're going to honor that and keep you here for the rest of the season. Mm. And so next thing you know, he kept me there for the rest of the season. I dressed a few games, didn't get many snaps. And then it came time to make the playoff roster that year in 2007, and I thought I was going to be an odd man out again, And believe it or not, I made the cut then, and we won the Super Bowl. So
yeah.
I think just hard work paid off over my career there and gave me an opportunity, to be on the roster of the NFL Super Bowl champion.
John Standiford is our guest. He came out of Purdue and had an interesting experience in the NFL. We'll talk further about that. We'll also talk about his faith. But first, let's take a break. You're listening to Face to Face. Welcome back to Face to Face. Our guest is John Standiford, and we're happy to have him with us today as he's got quite an experience to talk about. And, John, let's move on a little bit and talk about your Christian faith. Talk about how you became a Christian.
Yeah, basically, growing up in my family, my parents didn't go to church, and they taught me a lot about, do the right thing and work hard. And my dad was a construction worker, so he always worked hard and providing for his family, and my mom stayed at home and babysat kids. But we just didn't go to church, didn't really grow up in the church or with a strong faith. But my parents loved me, told me they loved me and just always met my needs. And just as I got older and, my friends started doing some of the wrong things, and my dad struggled with alcohol addiction, and you get into junior high and high school, and then your friends start doing that, and then I had to make a decision: was I going to go that route, or was there something better for me? And so, believe it or not, my brother went to the Fellowship of Christian Athletes football camp, and got saved, and he had his license, so he came home, inspired and ready to conquer the world. And so he started getting me up on Sunday and driving me to church, and that's how I became a Christian and knowing about the Lord. And I still go to that church to this day and serve my community there. So I gave my life to Christ when I was 16, and haven't looked back since. Yes, am I perfect? No, but Christ is always there to pick me up.
Let's go back to your Super Bowl experience, and you're thinking about when you have accepted Christ, and you're thinking about you're at the top of your game. How did those two mesh together, being in the Super Bowl? Did you feel like that you were really, really blessed throughout your career, that God really was guiding you and had a plan for you?
I really do, If I would have got drafted, who knows if I would end up being a Super Bowl champion or not. Or, my path to the NFL, my wife and I laugh all the time because I think I was cut 13 times before I made the NFL roster. And, that perseverance creates character in your life. And I went through that, but, God was always there to lift me up, pick my spirits up. And I didn't play football necessarily for, anybody else other than to honor God. Yes, I love to do it, and I love to be there for my teammates, but first and foremost, I knew if I honored him and played as hard as I could for him, that'd be above any expectations that anybody else could want for me. So had a few verses I always stood upon whenever I was going through those tough times, and they kept me going. So,
yeah, you had a real challenge after coming out 2007, 2008. You go to the Detroit Lions, the worst football worst record. I know a lot of guys who play on that team would say, well, there were a lot of positives there. But you go on a team that goes 0-16, they don't win a single game, and then they still struggled in 2009. That had to be a real challenge for you and your faith. Tell me about that Detroit Lions team of 2008 under Rod Marinelli, right, was the head coach?
Yes, it was a tough season. You know, no one ever thinks going into a season. Everybody wants to be a champion, you know, but it all goes back to, I think, paying attention to the details and doing the little things. And those little things add up when the game's on the line. I think we lost like 9 games by 3 points or less that season. And if you can go back to one little detail, whether it's a drop ball or a penalty or jumping off sides or whatever, or missed field goal, whatever it is, you know, those things add up to a loss in the column. And yeah, we had great individuals on that team, but individuals don't win games. It's all coming together and paying attention to the details and doing the right thing when it matters. And that creates a champion. And a lot of times whenever, you know, a ball's not bouncing your way and you're down, then next thing you know, it spirals out of control. And you can come out of the season as the worst team in NFL history. And, you know, that's not something you want to be a part of. But we did learn a lot of good things and a lot of life's lessons that I still share today with kids and people that are struggling.
When you're sharing with kids, do you feel like you can relate more in talking about your time with the Colts or in talking about your time with the Lions and all the hardships you went through?
I think a little bit of both, you know. There's a lot to be said about winning with integrity and doing it the right way, and also learning from perseverance and those types of things. And, you know, I always read Colossians chapter 3 and before all my games, and, you know, obviously that chapter, you know, whatever we do, we're supposed to honor God in whatever we do. And so that's what I strive to do. And that's what I can tell people, whether I won a game or lost a game, it didn't really matter. I mean, it did. I was upset if we lost, but in the grand scheme of things, it didn't matter. He does, you know, Christ don't care who wins or loses the game. He wants, you know, souls with him in heaven. So although it got me down, it just gave me a platform to share my faith with, you know, people that need to hear it.
John Stanford, who had a great career at Purdue and also got a chance to get a Super Bowl ring, played with the Detroit Lions. You ended up your career playing in the United Football League with the Florida Tuskers, Virginia Destroyers. I think you might have played with them even a little bit beforehand there. What was that like? That had to be really different.
Yeah, it was different. You know, you go from the prestige and everybody watch him playing in the NFL, and then you go to a league in the UFL that was just up and coming, and you were playing against good talent, but, you know, you're just trying to get one more shot. And believe it or not, Jay Gruden was my coach in the UFL, and then he went to the Bengals. And so after that, I got a chance with the Bengals in 2012. But, yeah, the UFL was just another chance for me to continue my career, but, you know, not much prestige and not as much of a budget to go play in that league. So it was interesting going from the NFL to that. But you know, I was still blessed to have a relationship with Christ and have a great wife that supports me and everything I did.
Your faith is so important to you. Let's close this way. Tell me a little bit about a favorite verse that you might have that you'd share with our listeners today.
Yeah, I have quite a few, but I always draw on the Philippians 4:13. You know, one of the favorites, obviously, I think everybody knows, you know, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. But also, you know, Joshua 1:9, you know, he commands us to be strong and courageous and not to be discouraged or terrified, because he's always with us. And those verses right there kept me going. And if we read a little bit further on, before in Philippians 4:13, Paul said, you know, whether I have a lot or little, it doesn't matter. He's always going to encourage us and strengthen us. So that's what I drew on, the fact that it didn't matter win or loss or good day or bad day. If I honor God and have a relationship with Christ and just try to let my light shine, that's what he called me to do.
John, thanks for being with us. Good luck in your new career that you have, and hopefully maybe we'll be able to do this again sometime.
Yeah, thanks a lot. Appreciate you.
All right, John Stanford, the former outstanding wide receiver for Purdue. We'll take a break and be back. You're listening to Face to Face. Welcome back to Face to Face. Hope you enjoyed our time with John Stanford. I've always enjoyed the people that I've met in the many years that we've been doing face-to-face. I've always enjoyed the many people, the common people, if you will. And there's not a lot of superstars that we've had on face-to-face, but there are a number of people who have made their mark in sports and also have had a strong Christian faith, and that's where guys like John come in. But that doesn't take away from the fact that there are also people more or less at the top of their game who also have Christ at the center of their life. Recently, I saw a YouTube interview with Dabo Swinney, the head coach of the Clemson Tigers. And Dabo Swinney, very, very outspoken about his faith. In fact, a reporter in a press conference said, "Why is it when you hoist the trophy that you often talk about your faith?" And he said, "That's the easiest question I've had all day." And he actually went on for over 3 minutes to talk about what his faith meant. I thought that was very, very important. I also have heard from Drew Brees, heard a talk with him, and actually, even in a bowl game, watched the Rose Bowl one night, saw a guy named Brady Brees, who I really don't know, and I hope I even got the name right, played for Oregon, and he gave his testimony. So there's a lot of people out there that have sports in their background and have Jesus Christ in their background also. Well, if you'd like to know more about what face-to-face is all about, and here's some of these interviews that we have, of course, you can go to our website. Our website is at facetofaceradio.com, and we always invite you to check that out, facetofaceradio.com, and that's what we have. As we close for you today, I want to take you to a verse from the book of Ephesians, chapter 6, verse 10, and this is what it says, Ephesians 6:10. "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power." As we go into 2020, one of the things that we want to do, of course, is to make this year another year in which we can tell people about Jesus Christ and how he rules in the sports world, but also how he rules in the lives of each one of these athletes. So that's a verse for us. Be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. That's about it for us. We look forward to having you back next week. We'll have another Christian athlete. Till then, this is Tom Russ saying, remember this, no matter where you go, no matter what you do, be a good sport. Bye.
You've been listening to Face to Face with Tom Rust. For a free copy of today's program or for more information, please write to Face Ministries, P.O. Box 125, Columbus, Indiana 47202. You can also find us on the web at facetofaceradio.com. Join us again next week as Tom Rust goes face to face.